An overwhelming majority of U.S. lawmakers has called on President Barack Obama to veto U.N. resolutions against Israel, which they regard as being biased. Nearly 400 out of some 435 members of the U.S. House of Representatives made the call in a formal letter to the president. The letter said the U.N. action at international conferences cannot resolve the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. The lawmakers said direct talks are the only solution to the conflict. This is while the U.S. and its allies have made unsuccessful attempts in this regard. The letter comes as the UN Security Council is expected to vote on a resolution next week which condemns the Israeli settlements in the occupied territories. Despite deep divisions, U.S. Democrats and Republicans have thrown their weight behind the Israeli regime. Talking about this, we have Richard Silverstein, journalist and political commentator, joining us. Richard, good to have you with us. Now, the U.S. has for decades been vetoing back and back Security Council resolutions against Israel. That is a fact. But with the pressure mounting both on Tel Aviv at the moment and its traditional protector being the U.S., Washington over a slew of different issues such as the rights abuses against Palestinians, its nonstop settlement expansion that we're witnessing at the moment, and land grab policies, and especially its recent charade that we witnessed, its execution style killing of innocent Palestinian people, and the list can go on. But do you have a sense, do you see any hope that the U.S. Might just consider this policy, at least for the upcoming resolution, and vote in favor of the resolution instead of stopping or blocking it?
Well, I think that it's clear that the Obama administration and the Israel lobby, which is behind this resolution, has very strong support in Congress, strong support from the president as well. It's likely that this resolution will pass, and it's also likely that the Obama administration will veto the UN resolution. I think that those actions are preposterous, they're ill-advised. They fly in the face of U.S. policy itself, which opposes settlements. So you have the unlikely event of a U.S. administration vetoing a U.N. resolution, which is actually agrees with U.S. policy, which makes no sense in itself. And the issue of claiming that the only way to resolve the Israeli-Palestinian conflict is through direct talks is also a fabrication, because the Netanyahu government in Israel does not want to achieve any kind of resolution through any peace talks. We've had John Kerry at least go through two rounds of face-to-face peace negotiations between Israelis and Palestinians, and it was Israel, as the U.S. negotiators actually showed, that was the block and the obstacle to the success. So this is a charade, really, and in my opinion, the United Nations should get more aggressively involved. Other international bodies, the European Union, should get more involved in this. And the only way to bring Israel to heel will be through international pressure. I should tell your viewers also that there was a very hopeful sign, was a debate yesterday between the two Democratic presidential candidates, Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders. And Bernie Sanders actually very intensely supported the suffering of the Palestinian people before a national audience, and Hillary Clinton, of course, rejected and denied the suffering and sided completely with Israel. So the fact that we have a Democratic presidential candidate who is willing to embrace the Palestinian cause, although he does not shirk the Israeli cause either, is really a hopeful sign and may exert some pressure and raise the credibility of the progressive forces in U.S. politics.
But Richard, let's just imagine that Barack Obama does actually go ahead with blocking any resolution being issued against Israel, vetoing it as it's been doing in the past. Now, what kind of a precedence do you think this would set in terms of the U.S. Foreign policy?
Well, I think, first of all, we have to talk about the impact on Israel. It will reinforce the status quo. And the status quo, as everybody knows, means blood and suffering and violence, not just for Palestinians, but also for Israelis themselves. So this kind of policy is counterproductive for Israel. And in terms of the United States, it just reinforces the lock that the Israel lobby has on U.S. policy regarding Israel and the Middle East in general. And this is a really toxic recipe in U.S. politics. You know, Israel is the third rail, they say, of U.S. politics. Anyone who touches the third rail gets electrocuted. And this only reinforces that impression, and we have to break this logjam of the power of the lobby to control and to poison the well when it comes to relations with Israel.
And very briefly, what is your take, essentially, your assessment on the, let's say, strength and domination and prevalence of the AIPAC and the Israeli lobby over the American establishment as a whole, be it the Congress, the U.S. House of Representatives, as well as the Obama administration?
Well, I don't want to make a too broad a pronouncement here and say that AIPAC controls all U.S. policy, U.S. foreign policy. That's not true, but it does really virtually control everything that relates to Israel. It controls the arms deals, it controls foreign aid. There's also a huge outcry in Congress against the BDS movement, so there's all sorts of power that they exert in relation to Israel and Palestine, and that is really pernicious, an impact, I think.
Okay. Thank you, Richard Silverstein, for your contribution.